Good morning. So it is question answer Sunday. So this first question, I was going to do it second, but I bumped it to the first. It came in last minute, or I probably would have passed it on and didn't know if we'd have time. And I said, well, we should have time, so we're going to see how it goes. All right, you can turn to Matthew chapter 27. And as we go over the two questions, hopefully kind of shed a little light on the two songs. All right, Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now y'all have all read this passage numerous times, but how many times have you thought about that the graves were opened, many bodies of the saints which slept arose and went into the holy city and appeared unto many? So what is going on? The questions, why have we not heard any messages on this? And what happened to those saints? So that's what we're working on this morning. First of all, Matthew is the only one that records this. Also, there's no recording of the stir of this, these resurrected dead saints that brought to the city. One, it was many that were resurrected, and they appeared to many. Now, I don't know if you can really imagine that, but just to think about that, you know, hey, I saw your grandpa earlier today. I was talking with him. He died a couple years ago. Yeah, but he was in town today. I mean, just think about trying to explain that to somebody. That would be difficult, and I'm sure there were quite a few people that were shaken up. So as I was thinking about it, I was wondering, okay, who might these saints be? I wonder if possibly Simeon and Anna, which were there, you know, in Luke chapter 2, when they brought Jesus to the temple. I wonder if they might have been two of them. But I don't think it was like some of the ones like David, Solomon, or any of those. Because if you're going to give an illustration to people, if you're going to grab their attention, you can bring David back, but who's going to know who David is? Nobody knows what David looks like at that time. It's just like if he walked in now, if he was dressed in that kind of attire, you would think he was a little strange or was from, you know, the Middle East or something, but we would have no clue. We don't have a picture. They wouldn't have. So more than likely, these were saints that everybody would have been familiar with, and they would have known who they were. So, they went into Jerusalem, the holy city. They would have known, like I said, more than likely they would have known who they were. So, what is all of this about? So, at Christ's death, three momentous things happened. The temple veil was torn in two. There was an earthquake, and these graves were opened, and people were resurrected. So, the temple veil, I don't know if Kenneth is hitting that next week or not, but the veil of the temple, according to, I guess, history, tradition, or whatever, we don't have it in the scripture. What we're told in the scripture that was in for the tabernacle that was made out of linen, and it was blue, purple, and scarlet. But according to what I could find, traditionally believed the veil was about 60 feet high and 30 feet wide. It was several inches thick. It was made of fine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim skillfully woven into it. And then this reference back to Exodus 26, the veil served as a physical, symbolic barrier, signifying the separation between a holy God and sinful humanity. Only the high priest could pass beyond the veil, and only once a year at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people, Leviticus 16. So notice it was torn into from top to the bottom. God tore the veil into the separated man from him. We learn in Hebrews that the veil represented the body of Christ. It being torn into pictured the giving of his body in death. The way was opened up in the presence of God. Man now has access to God through our mediator, Jesus Christ. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. The song we sang this morning, no blood, no altar now, the sacrifice is o'er. No flame, no smoke ascends on high, the lamb is slain no more. But richer blood has flowed from nobler veins to purge the soul from guilt and cleanse the red of stains. So we see that the sacrifice of Christ now gives us access to God that they did not have before. The second thing was the earthquake. This was a powerful earthquake. Possibly the earth reacting to the death of its creator. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So if it was groaning due to man's sin and the curse, was this the reaction of its maker dying? Jameson Fawcett Brown says, were rent the physical creation, thus sublimely proclaiming at the bidding of its maker the concussion which at the moment was taking place in the moral world at the most critical moment of its history. The rocks were torn in two. Extraordinary rents and fissures have been observed in the rocks near this spot. So we see this was a powerful earthquake. The rocks were torn in two. Then we see the centurion and the soldiers with him. These guys are used to death. They're used to putting people on the cross, killing people, and they were used to the normal process that took place. Christ was completely different. If you look at the two thieves, you get an idea of how man reacts under pain, duress, torture, and so forth, and it's not a good picture. As they poured that out towards Christ, and then the one ended up turning to him, but when we're in pain, we're not the most joyful people to be around. Now, Christ wasn't necessarily portraying joy, but he was showing kindness, love, and forgiveness that we would not be doing in that situation. The centurion and the soldiers, because it says those that were with him that were watching, they saw all of this. They saw Christ's reaction. They saw how he died. And they felt the earthquake, and they were terrified. The centurion declared, truly, this was the Son of God. And then we see that the graves were opened. Not only the rocks are torn in two, but the graves were opened. So as you read that, and the graves were opened, many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Some have said that they were brought back to life. They are resurrected, but they just lay there till Christ rose. I don't think that was the case. The graves were opened, and then at Christ's resurrection, they were also resurrected. So Jesus said in John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We plant a seed. We have that one seed. And when it grows, it produces fruit. You plant that kernel of corn, kernel of wheat and you plant that, what do you get? You get not just one seed, not with just one fruit, we get many. And we have that here, even though with Christ. Christ is the firstborn from among the dead. Others have been raised from the dead. We can think of the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, but they all died again. Christ is the firstborn from the dead to never die again. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. So Christ is the first fruits of them that had slept, those that had died. But in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So these graves were opened at the death of Christ. And then when he rose from the dead, the Spirit of life came into these saints. They got up out of their graves, went into Jerusalem, appeared unto many. And again, if you had met some of these saints and knew that they had died, you would not have a problem believing when you were told that Christ rose from the dead, when he had already told the nation pretty much that he would rise on the third day. We are not told that they returned to their graves. I don't believe they returned to their graves. Schofield and Wofford believe that this was a fulfillment of the feast of the first fruits of harvest mentioned in Leviticus 23:10-12. And I'll read those verses. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. You shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So the wave sheaf typifies the resurrection of Christ, but it would appear from the symbol used that the plurality is implied. It was a single grain of wheat that fell into the ground in the crucifixion and entombment of Christ. It was a sheaf which came forth in the resurrection. The inference is that these saints went with the risen Christ into heaven. And that was from Schofield. And then another one that I had read, but this resurrection once for all to life everlasting. So there is no room to doubt that they went to glory with their Lord as a bright trophies of his victory over death. And then that's tied into Ephesians, where it talks about that Christ ascended, but first he descended. And as you know, we've talked about before, when the Old Testament saints died, they did not go to heaven. Sin had not been taken care of. They went to paradise or Abraham's bosom. And then when Christ rose from the dead at his ascension, he descended and he took them to heaven with him. So when we die, we now go to heaven. So that was the first question.